Hi, I'm Liz.
And I'm Rhea.
Welcome to Karma's My Bitch, a podcast about love,
sex,
connection,
abundance,
joy,
purpose,
peace,
and how life isn't simply the stories we tell ourselves. Last episode in the season.
Yeah. And how satisfying was this season for you, given you disliked various other seasons? Not going to name them all, but...
We'll list them all. Listen, this season, even in the ones where we went a bit rogue with the fates and the divines, I still laughed. So I have to say this season was... I remember in the first episode, Guidance said that this was a season I always wanted, right? Mm-hmm. What I found so fascinating about this season... It's funny because I was just thinking, how am I going to make this a personal moment? But... I am anyway. Jesus.
But we find a way.
Always find a way. But what I found so fascinating about this season is that when I did season one, all those years ago now.
Yeah.
Well, not that many.
Crazy.
Feels like decades ago. I would have looked to this season as the Bible, right?
Hmm.
What's interesting about this season is that I was the one teaching it. And it wasn't stuff that maybe I hadn't experienced. It was stuff that I knew, stuff that I'd experienced, stuff that, you know, I mean, maybe some of it I haven't done. I haven't had teenagers or necessarily been a gold digger. But, but you know, it was just something that it just kind of also made me realize what the karmic undoing process can do.
Hmm.
Because from season one to season 10, which is effectively season 1.0, right? It's the new season. It's... again, which I just realized for the first time.
Yeah.
Did you always know that?
No.
Okay.
But I love
now,
it.
Now it's true?
Yeah, it's like clicking. And I was like, wow, cool.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, you get to do season one again.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it kind of says everything, right? This karmic undoing process. Not only can you get rid of your karma, follow your heart, you know, fuck fear, fuck ego, and create and desire and magic and all the shit.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also just live a much happier, normal life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't say normal, but happy.
Yeah, I mean, like normal.
I mean, what's
like,
normal anymore?
I mean, nothing's normal anymore. Everything's, you know, nothing's never been normal. But like, because that was separation wanted. But what I mean is that I don't think I would have believed I would be able to A, get to season 10, record season 10, or be the one who, when it came to the relationship practical stuff, spoke about it in such a way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just a testament to the karmic process or KMB or you or me or our relationship or any of that or even guidance. It's just, wow. Like, not only does experience make normal, but we all have the power to create the worlds we desire. Because the world I desired in season one was the world I experienced in season 10.
Yeah.
And that's fucking huge.
So it just takes 9 seasons.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be honest, like some of those seasons were a bit like, you know, left field ones. They were useful because obviously it's also packed all the theory, all the you stuff, all the me stuff, all the in-between stuff. My guess is it probably takes about 5 or 6.
It's 6.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Well done.
Thanks. Oh,
yeah.
That was a good guess. Totally educated. So which are the 4 that were unnecessary?
Well, we wouldn't say they were unnecessary. So 6 seasons.
Okay, which
are the essential seasons?
Which ones?
In terms of one's karmic undoing, as you so say. So it's seasons 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 7.
Fine.
Because 6 is 4.1.
Yes, yes, yes. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
So seasons 8 and 9.
Or magic.
Magic.
And you don't need those for your karmic undoing. Those are just, again, as we had explained, magic is the cherry on the sundae. It's not an essential component of living one's life post-karma. But if you want to further your consciousness, further your wisdom, and tap into your divinity and exercise it in a way in which maybe you wouldn't have otherwise, magic is there for that.
You know what I also find really interesting about magic? Magic really does help with faith. The first, even in the karmic undoing process, right? When you have those moments, you're like, oh my God, that's so crazy. I can't believe that happened, right?
Yeah.
Or like when you make that crazy call and it works out perfectly for you in that moment. Or when you look back and you're like, shit, I couldn't have designed this better.
Oh, like when you make a bold choice to go out one night by yourself.
Yes.
And maybe it's not something you would have otherwise done. And just, but you just had this kind of crazy or out of the blue inclination to do something.
Yeah.
And it leads to something interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That, or like, you know, I'm going to just pick up the phone and text this person, even though it makes no sense. Or mm-hmm. I'm going to start a podcast with a random lady I met in the gym. Like, but in the comic undoing process, there's so many of those woe moments. And that gives you kind of the motivation to keep going. Mm-hmm. Right. But when it gets to out of there, they become even more frequent.
Yeah.
And more, for want of a better word, magical, yeah. right? Is like,
which then also becomes kind of normal. So then you take it for granted. Yeah. And then you take it for granted.
And you start wondering where the parking spaces went. And like, even though I know, I guess that's
or you just like, everything is just that way.
Like,
and
but
then,
why am I here? Like, that didn't work. You know, like, it, you start playing a dance. And I was thinking about this today. You really play a dance with expectations and magic.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting one that I hope maybe we'll unpack in time to come. Mm-hmm. But really, for me, what I find interesting when it comes to the faith thing is that it you wire it in a way that I never expected. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that was the word, ironically, that I was looking for.
Okay.
Because, you know, at first, you're like, oh, I'm going to do this crazy thing, and it's probably going to blow up in face, right? Mm-hmm. But then it gets to a point where you're like, I'm going to do this crazy thing, and I know it's not. Mm-hmm. And then it even goes further and going, well, you know, I know that when I travel, I'll be fine. I know when I do this, I'll be fine. I know when I do that, when I'll be fine. And
I don't know how, but how doesn't factor into that equation anymore. Because how is something that you ask yourself when you're in your karma? How is this going to happen? When is this going to happen?
I mean, I ask myself those things sometimes now as well, but okay. It's like more curious.
Yeah. But when you are, and that's natural because you're a naturally curious person. When you are just living from your fate and you are in touch with your magic, how is
It's less of an issue, yeah.
It's not an issue at all. You don't even think about it. You just know it's going to happen. You just know it's going to happen.
Yeah. Full stop. You just know the next step, right? Because mm-hmm. this is the thing. Like, I know this. I saw this recently, actually. A friend of mine, something happened to them and they needed help, right? Mm. And so in order to manage it, they needed to know every step that they were going to take in order mm-hmm. to fix it.
Yeah.
Right? And at first, I found this really strange. I was like, why are we planning this like this? And then I stopped and I was like, it's what you used to do. Mm-hmm. It's how you make things manageable. It's how you know that you'll get through the other side. It's like, these are the steps I'm going to take.
Yeah.
What magic allows for, and that's what I talk about experience makes normal, is it's just like, it allows you to get used to the chaos mm-hmm. and feel, have faith that in the chaos, you'll still land in a happy place.
And by the way, the chaos isn't really chaos. It's just your karma. Is the reality, because when you are trying to control things, as you said, so you can address the fear that, again, that's what we're trying to mitigate or manage as we're trying to define each step to get to the other end, it feels like that. Mm. But once you are operating from your fate, there is no chaos.
Which is why I find it so ironic that actually, for me, when I hear that, I'm like, well, that's freedom, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But when you hear fate, you assume that it's very restrictive, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was always a thing. And I always felt like fate has quite a negative tinge to it. Like, oh, I guess my fate is to, you know, die alone with 3,000 cats or whatever it is people say when they talk about fate. So actually, the idea that what fate allows for is freedom is quite different. I guess maybe we should turn the B and K and M also round and round.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than just the K. But like, in the sense that you're free to actually make choices, mm-hmm. to know that they're always going to be okay in one way or another.
Yeah.
And that somehow in every month that passes, you're getting closer and closer to the state of bliss, as it were, mm-hmm. which we haven't really spoken about. And I'm guessing is next season.
Yeah, I'm guessing that too. I mean, given that the end of this episode is bliss.
Also, given that you said this was the last season about magic. So exactly. It kind of makes sense because we know where we're going a little bit. But again, it's exactly that. We kind of know where we're going. We know we're going to get to bliss somehow in these episodes. We know that magic was kind of the bridge to that. But do we know what bliss looks like? Do we know what it's about? Am I ready for you to say the divine and maybe another 3,000 times? Probably not. Don't know. But you know what I mean?
Like, kind of please know.
It's kind of like we kind of know where we're going in a very loose sense of the word, and we get a nice feeling in our tummies around it.
Yes.
And that's kind of as far as it needs to go.
Precisely, because that's the adventure of 5D, is just allowing for the unfolding of our fates.
Yeah.
And the only way to allow for that unfolding is the freedom for things to unfold, right? Yeah. It's very simple, as we've always said, from karma to magic to bliss is actually quite simple, and we do everything we can to simplify it. It's just not necessarily easy from our limited separation-y mindsets.
Well, the issue is that it kind of all kind of boils back down to trust, right? Yeah. Because, and I'm not talking about the one trust, I'm talking about the pillars of trust, which also happen to be the foundation of love, which we've also spoken about in this season and in our books, but probably not in the seasons before, because the way we get our information is a bit haphazard sometimes.
Fair, fair. Yeah.
But also always accurate and always fantastic. Before you think I'm undermining us.
I'm not. It's like, yeah, you always just like cut it out. But I'm like, yeah, season nine. Yeah. No, sorry. Season one, episode nine.
I mean, we've always like, exactly. Season one, episode nine. It was the.
So oh, you mean from season one.
Season one. Yeah. Nine was the last bit.
Yes.
Between one and nine, you kind of.
Yeah. They were the foundational. Really foundational.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know.
Little did we know how foundational.
No, yeah, exactly. Basically, you had what is karma, what are relationships, how to connect to people. And what I find the most fascinating thing about that and why it was so foundational in a way is a lot of those first 10 episodes were centered on connecting and relationships. Mm-hmm. And the season has a lot of been about relationships as well. Because what we're starting to learn, and as we discuss source and be sourced and love and all those things, right, mm-hmm. is that one of the foundations of 5D is harmony, but relationships, right? Relationships with oneself, relationships with each other.
It's all relational. Whatever we experience in 5D is ultimately going to be relational. Yeah. But we can't master the wisdom around that or the relationships therein until we really, as we said, get through the karmic bit. Mm. So in episode one of this season, the explanation was we could never give you the season you really wanted and cover the topics you really wanted until karma was gone.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Because that governs our interactions to such a degree that you can't untangle it from your
true.
Relationships. But once you've killed it, right? So once you've gone through your undoing process and once you've firmly killed your ego, you get to be on the other side. You get to season 10 and you think, okay, now I see why everything's possible from this space.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And for me, you're right, and I will say it for the first time probably, season one, episode nine, is the bit that's missing is the trust, right? Because you have to be able to trust oneself first, right? As in actual like lowercase you trust. I trust that everything is for, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And whatever choice I make will be for my highest good. And we learn that through our karma because, and I say it constantly in every episode pretty much, is that do whatever the fuck you want to do. Mm-hmm. Because in acting that way, you're either healing something old or learning something new. I haven't said that phrase in ages, but it's very, very true. Mm-hmm. You know, when you've got the knowing, it's that knowing of, I matter. I'm here for something. And it's how you create. Because it's from that knowing that something's important that you can create something. Otherwise, you're just like, what, floating in the wind? When you look at hope, it's, well, what do you want? What are your desires? And I know we've defined and redefined hope so many times.
Yeah, hope has taken on different hues, but we can say that at the very core of hope is what do you most desire?
Yeah.
And as we even explored this season, defining what one wants is actually much more difficult than most people are willing to admit.
Because of separation.
Because of separation.
And then,
I mean, outside of karma, which already makes it impossible. It's just the socialization that we still have wired within us, especially older generations, to want what is expected of us to want.
Yeah.
We can still want those things, but we need to want them for ourselves, knowing that they're for our betterment and not because this is our way to contribute to society. This is a way to help future generations, but that cannot be my only drive either.
No, 100%. And I think that was the bit that I really struggled with for a while because I always felt that this work was, I martyred myself for it over and over again in my head. You know, like, oh, I can't go out because I have to work. Oh, I'm having all these painful lessons because I have to teach them. You know, everything was always like, and I've kind of realized over time that that's the bullshit part.
Yeah.
Me being a happy, joyful, loving, loved person allows this work to thrive.
Yeah.
Because therefore I'm able to infuse my light into it.
Right. Which can be said of anyone's purpose.
Exactly. It's everyone. The idea that we are here to be responsible for others over ourselves is mm-hmm. just utter bullshit, which kind of brings me to faith, right?
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about faith is that we've discussed this recently, where I said it to you and I said, you know what? I have faith in what we've created,
mm-hmm.
right? I have faith that it's changed my life, other people's lives, and it will continue to do so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily need to understand any more than that when right. it comes to this work. And when I look at my life, the same applies. I have faith that I will do what's best for me. I have my back.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't even need to believe in, like, I don't know, the moon and the sun and the stars. You don't need it.
Some ways you might be better off.
Yeah, true.
But you don't. It gets a lot less confusing.
Because going through the karmic undoing process and everything that came afterwards, I know I have my back. And I know that I can create magic in my life. So I also now have faith that I can do anything, even the stuff I haven't done yet.
Yeah. That builds, right? That builds through your karmic undoing process. It doesn't come at the end. Everything is always a matter of building and growing.
And it will continue to for the rest of our lives.
Exactly. Because it is a fundamental piece in terms of the pillars of the foundation of love. And so as our love expands, so too do all those other pillars. Yeah. But the one thing about faith that we haven't always discussed is that, and this is going to be me divining this again, which, because it's season 10, I have to. There's no getting around it. I'm really sorry. In advance.
Are you going to come over to my divine to do it?
No, you're over in my divine to do it. Effectively, what expands or how we can expand that faith where we have our backs, right? And ultimately, of course, we have our backs because if we are the divine...
Right. With you.
Then that's us having our backs, right? So we know we got this. Because if we recognize that we are the divine,
mm.
that means that we are truly connected to the all. Okay?
Okay.
Straight face.
Okay. All right.
And if we can really recognize as an experience that connection, right? Because everything is through all of our bodies. So it's never just like a recognize and know that connection, which is what some people might mental it. It's probably the easiest way for most. Then we can recognize that we are the entirety of this human existence. Now, that's not to say that everything is about me and okay. that I'm the center of my world because this is my human existence.
I was into that.
Yeah, I know. I had a feeling. And we've said that, I think, in previous episodes. I think you've kind of given that example. But it's that we are no different from any other living being.
Okay.
That's that connection.
I can't
because
imagine.
The divine is in them and the divine is in me.
Because
we're all the divine.
Okay.
Yeah. That if you can really grasp... And again, this can't be mentalized. It's more of a feeling and a knowing than anything else. Then we are so connected that how I live is that connected to anyone else who is alive at this time. And so our fates, even if we are not connected in our fate, as in there might be somebody in Timbuktu I will never come across, but my existence matters just as much as theirs. And their ability to live on their fate and my ability to live on my fate puts us on a single timeline. Because we're all living in the same moment, right? We're all living in the same breath.
Is it like the whole world takes a breath at the same time, therefore we're all breathing at the same time?
No, it's not quite like that. But it's because we all exist and we all live and breathe at the same time.
Okay.
That we are that connected. But that then means that we can exist in a multitudinous series of moments at once. And that's another way to look at your lifetimes just being that expanded. So, yeah, I'm really sorry to have thrown this in there, but it is the last episode of the season. So this is like seed planting for like next season stuff. So season 11, I imagine, is going to be bliss. And so there's something about this that connects to bliss somehow,
okay.
I guess. Yes, somehow. There are enough people who understand this connection intuitively that they respect life to that degree. Start to understand that our connection runs even deeper than, oh, we are all just kind of like
alive. Okay.
Right?
And also the thing that you said about us, our fates, it's all connected because we're all connected to the earth's fate.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're all connected through the divine because we're all the divine.
Yeah.
So if we're all having multitudinous existences in a single lifetime as the divine, so you can understand or begin to understand parallel realities. That's how that works.
Okay.
So I've got this one soul. Well, I mean, we have multiple souls. Most of us are multi-souled beings, but there are still some. Are there any that are single soul anymore? No. Okay. So everyone on this planet who's alive and in body will have a minimum of 2 to 3 souls.
What's the maximum more souls they'll have?
We won't even go to the maximum. It depends on one's purpose, right? The number of souls always has to do with one's purpose or mission, what they've set out to accomplish.
Again, just look at a soul as another piece of information, another book in the library.
It's a life enhancement is what we call it. So again, number doesn't really mean a lot. It's just how it is. But if you can understand, you have multiple souls in your single life as Rhea. Yet, and you operate from a single fate, all right? You're not operating from multiple fates. And yet, because those souls come from the divine, as in because you are divine, those souls are also capable of, they will not exist in another being, but that does allow you a much more expanded existence than just the one you currently have.
Because one of my souls is like on planet X or Y.
No, not necessarily because it's on another planet, but it can be experiencing this life in another way.
Okay, so it's like two perspectives at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine.
But obviously we are not there yet.
Yeah, because I can still barely understand.
We're still barely in higher consciousness, right? So the way to try to wrap your heads and hearts around that concept is, if I'm here for so much, right?
Again, how am I going to do it all?
How am I going to do it all?
In such a short space of time. I mean, I remember when I called you after we did the eternity episode and I was like, is guidance saying the world's ending next week and we're just going to, don't worry, but we'll live loads of eternities in 1 week before it ends. That's pretty much, this is, we're on the same level here. So you're going to live loads of eternities in loads of souls at the same time to be real efficient about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Because a soul can only serve like one body at a time. So again, a soul isn't occupying, if you will, because they don't occupy anything. But a soul will not exist for more than one person. Again, if you're in body, the point is to be in body. It is to be present to this world, to this existence, to this life, to the living and breathing features of being in body, but also being fully aware. And that's a really big deal because a lot of people are very separated from their bodies. You can't just go from separation into like, oh my God, I'm so at one with my body. I'm so at one in myself. It takes time, as you know. It's a process. You don't have to lose your human life or your identities in order to get there. And that's the point. And this is why because this is moving us toward bliss. Okay. Like how bliss is not possible if you think that all you're going to be doing is oming on the mountain.
No, because that's not bliss. That's I mean, that's
well, definitely, it might be bliss for one person.
No, it could be bliss, as in a moment of bliss, but it's not bliss.
Mm.
That's the thing. Like, I think a lot of what we teach, and I think what makes our partnership so special and what makes us so special, and what I love about this the most, is that we are not here to teach people how to escape their lives. Mm. We are here to teach people how to make their lives better.
Yeah.
And that, for me, is, can you get all the juice and amazing stuff from all this divine spiritual theory, and can you bring it to your real life so that your mm-hmm. relationships, your jobs, your work, how you sleep and how you operate in your body is just so much better? Mm-hmm. Can we elevate the human experience so that it touches the divine and merges them together, rather than are we going to go from one to the other and keep flip-flopping? Because that's more separation.
Exactly.
True oneness is bringing that spiritual body into our bodies. Can we live the normal things? Like, can we have like crazy sex in a bathroom? Can we fall in love over a dinner table? Can we date? Can we get, you know, marry someone super rich or cheat or whatever we're going to fucking do?
Yeah.
Can we just do it from a place of divinity? And I can't believe I fucking said that word. I didn't say the divine, at least, but it's that, you know, when we say divinely empowered, that's what it is. And that's what I'm so into, because it's like, I'm just going to go to a party, but as me, but touching as the divine.
We can only be as happy as our power enables us.
Mm.
Yeah. So what you were describing is effectively what future generations will be able to do without effort.
Okay,
as in, that is what they are born to do. Again, that's why the episode about children prefaces this one, right? The way to look at it would be, and it's kind of like what you said, where I could be all these things and just doing it from like
a really happy, fun place.
Yes, exactly. Anything that incorporates all the 5D values, right? Yeah. And so,
and again, it doesn't have to come from this really mental place, which is what I 100% would have done before. It's just if you're in a moment and you're having a really great time in that moment, there you go.
Yeah, which is pretty much
just feel the depth of that moment, yes, but the light of that moment, yes, and like the breadth of that moment, and it's just a fucking moment.
Exactly. And it's like every single moment.
Yes.
So right now what's happening is we're getting those moments, yes, but we're not getting them in greater frequency.
Oh, wow. Yet. That's what we've got to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly. Where they come
in. Experience become normal, and then we just won't know.
Yeah, it kind of does. Oh, it kind of does. But you're also sort of high from the fact that it just feels right.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, I'm just so glad that it's from this space of just it all feeling right, yeah, and it all working out.
Yeah.
And yeah, you don't always want to be so hyper aware.
Yeah.
No, because then you're not present. I mean. You're so not. They kind of described it as like, you're sort of fully awake and engaged in your purpose, right? Mm. And given how many hours and time, how much time we spend, that's like all the time, right? But we're also engaged in a daily task. So like I could be making dinner, but I'm also just like so aware and taking care of other things as I go.
Yeah.
As I'm kind of doing that sort of mundane task. Yeah. But I'm also fully engaged in doing that in a way that feels really good, yeah, to me.
No, it's like on one evening in 2 hours, I wrote what I needed to do in a chapter, which would have normally taken me 6, mm-hmm, and also learned how to do this whole other skill.
Yeah.
And I went to bed going, oh, it's only 12:30.
Yeah.
How fucking exactly. Bad.
Yeah.
I don't feel exhausted and drained. No. I feel like that was actually quite simple. No. And I didn't almost believe it was done.
No.
But I also trusted myself to know it was done. So I listened and I just went to bed. I didn't, mm-hmm, just belabor it because,
right,
one must work really hard and spend hours doing something because that's the point.
Yeah. Well,
it's also getting used to things being easy, by the way, is actually a very, very difficult thing to do. That's very true.
And existing from that space of multidimensionality, so where you're doing all of those things, and it's a multitude of things, but it's, yeah, not the same as multitasking, which you know you're multitasking if you're drained.
Yeah.
You know you're multitasking when you're so exhausted and you're kind of low-key dreading some of what you're doing.
Yeah.
As opposed to like looking at it as, I'm actually really excited to do this. Yeah. It was a bit like my making the salmon bowl the other day. But then at some point I was able to talk to you and I was also taking care of something work-wise,
yeah,
as I was kind of like in between things, mm, and I was doing laundry. But like, so those were my mundane tasks, but I was doing it from a place where it just all felt so right.
Mm.
And that was what I was exactly where I was supposed to be, where I wanted to be. And it was all lining up with everything else so that I felt this like love and joy that I was able to provide and be present. And it was just really nice.
Mm.
Now, if you take that feeling and you just move it into everything else every day, that's what you're going for.
And that's bliss?
It's the starter stage of bliss.
Okay, fine.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got that.
How nice. Yes. Yeah.
But the thing is that even when you're saying what you're saying, the one thing I have to say,
okay,
there's a lot of sayings and says,
yes,
in there.
Say it.
But what, when you hear something and what you imagine it,
mm-hmm,
might not be what it actually looks like, right? It might feel something. And that's why whenever we talk about like,
mm,
magic or fate or desire, mm-hmm, to really focus in on what it feels like rather, mm-hmm, than what is making you feel that way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Because what is going to, and what feels right for me, given my circumstances, is going to be totally different from you. Because you're not sitting there thinking about like feeding, you know, a few people and then also taking care of other things while doing 2 loads of laundry.
No,
and
I'm thinking about when am I going to have my bath and do my hair, tidy up my flat, get a tan, whatever.
I mean,
that makes me sound like an idiot. But
no, it doesn't. I'm like, oh, that sounds so nice.
But you know what? But at the end of the day, what I mean is when we talk about relationships, I'm just going to tie it back to the rest of the season for a moment. We always think about
that is your gift.
People tend to think, oh, I need to be with this person who has to have this list, the person that's going to make me be in love, and they're going to make me feel like I'm with the one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be so happy in this moment and my relationship is perfect. They must have these qualities.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is we're narrowing. We're basically saying I can only feel this way in these situations, mm-hmm, effectively.
Yeah.
And even if we don't realize we're doing it subconsciously. However, if we focus on just the feeling of I'm going to feel like I'm so happy because I'm with this person, they just feel right to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you remove everything else.
Yeah.
Then actually, by focusing on the feeling, you'll be able to create it. By creating stipulations and expectations around the feeling as to what the environment will look like in order for you to feel that feeling,
mm-hmm,
the more it will elude you. Because actually, and it's what you said in a previous episode, which is sometimes what we think we want isn't what we want. And we have to go for what we want first, or what we think we want first, in order to find it out.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why a lot of this is feeling led, and why it's so important to have the emotional and spiritual bodies wired in this way, and faith and all the rest of it, is because it really is what you feel that matters. Mm-hmm. When I started, and as we said at the beginning of this episode, when I started this podcast, I just wanted to find love, right?
Yeah.
And I knew what love felt like. Mm. Somewhere deep down inside, I knew what love felt like. By season 10, I found love. And it's exactly what it feels like. And I experience it on most days. It just does not come in any of the ways in which I thought it would.
Yeah.
And because of how I feel it, now I can choose to put it in ways and continue to choose to put it in ways that continue to make me feel love in maybe some of the more traditional ways, in some of the less traditional ways. And I can look around and be like, when I look at my friends, I am so, they're the same fucking friends, a lot of them, but I'm like, I am so lucky that you're my friend. Like, I feel this rush of love for them that I can't explain, because I just think each and every one of them is so fucking special and has so many beautiful gifts. And our relationships are so important to me. And there's that love in this most expanded way with them. When I look at my family and I see this, it's just, do you see what I mean? It just grows and grows and grows. And so what I felt like I really wanted at the start of this, I got and more. And the beauty is, not only experience makes normal, but and more is normal too. So the more it gets normal, the more I want more, and the more I strive for more, and the more love I can hold and hold and hold and hold.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know in what forms it's going to take. I have suspicions. I have fate lines. I have passions. I have drives. I love certain things, you know, like certain things I'm good at, and they bring me joy, and I can't explain them. And I have an idea of what some of that stuff will be, because as a child, there were certain things I loved. I loved making music. I loved talking. I loved talking about my feelings. I loved being a teacher. I loved ceremonies. I loved magic. I loved fucking unicorns and rainbows. And I loved love. And all those things are what I get to do now.
Yeah.
And that's my fate. That's my purpose. That's why I'm here. I'm making the action. That's my mission. But that's also just my love.
Yeah. And if you're guided by a single value that is love, or that is harmony, or that is, I mean, there are 5D values, and then there are the personal values. Yeah. Ultimately, the more open those allow us to be, because they're all values are going to allow us to shape our path, right? But the more open we are to our path, the freer we are to explore everything that our fate makes possible. When we do that, even a handful of possibilities that reside in our fate is enough for a single lifetime. And the reason why we introduce the idea of eternities and lifespans and lifetimes, and we write about those as well later in our later books, in the more advanced teaching, has everything to do with how do we approach our lives and the fullness with which we want to experience everything. Because there are those who, by virtue of their own personal experiences, just really want to operate on from a single line, right? Because that's what they knew when they were in their karma, and it's just safe. But if you can approach everything with a level of detachment, because expectations are the poison for everything, and the more open you are, the possibilities that can come from any for any period of your life is really just going to astound you. And again, it does take a bit of time to get there, but you're going to see, Rhea, in the next 3 years, how much can be done in such a short time. Because you're going to look at a period of time of what your first 3 years of this work look like, and then what the second 3 years look like.
When you say expectations are the poison.
Yeah.
How does one manage that? Does guidance have any guidance on that? Because sometimes I find myself creating them, and they're like, no, don't. And I suck them
back. Oh, have them. You can have, here, you can imagine outcomes, right? The human mind is very gifted. Imagination's beautiful. Fantasy is beautiful. You don't want to rob yourself of what could be really fun stories
that
exist just within the realm of fantasy. But it's about recognizing in your feelings, as you said, if you wired in that feeling, you know what's real and what's not. You know what's possible and what's not. You know what resides in...
I think everything's possible.
Yes. But you also know where those possibilities can exist in the physical form or not. And you might just say, I might just give that over to a possibility in the physical reality, and that's okay.
Yeah.
If it doesn't happen, I know I will not be devastated, but my feeling is going to guide me here.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm open-minded to see where this leads. Okay, fine.
That we can sense. Play it in the realm of fantasy all day long. The difference between us doing it now from a space where we're not guided by karma and you're a fully healed person, fine. You can sit around and do that all day long.
It's so fun. It's the best.
It is. But the thing is, when you're also in this space, you're going to want to be living. You're not going to really want to be sitting around and just imagining a life.
You can imagine stuff like in the traffic.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's how I do it.
Same.
I'm like, if I'm bored, I'm like, oh, yeah, this would be fun thing to do.
They could be shower thoughts.
Yeah.
They could be exercise thoughts.
And also, you'll know in between them, something will come across, like you'll come across one of these things and it'll just hit you in the chest. You'll be like, oh, that's not a fantasy.
Yeah, exactly.
And I find sometimes that's really nice because it allows me to see stuff that I wouldn't necessarily.
Exactly.
So I'll just know
exactly
things.
So imagination is key, like when it comes to really defining,
it's just running through possibilities in your head.
And when you come to the sort of co-creative part of your fate where you're sitting there and making it up, well, you're not going to be making it up from nothing.
Maybe
your imagination will feed that. Maybe your imagination will contribute something to that, but again, maybe it just won't work out the way even your mind thinks,
because it could be better. Hashtag universe, hashtag rainbows.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or just different and equally good.
Yeah.
That's always my tempered response. It could be a lot better. And I'm like, or equally good in a different way. But whatever it is that you're experiencing, because your fantasy is not an experience. And that's also the difference, right?
Because when you experience it, all your four bodies are experiencing, whereas your fantasy, your physical body isn't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the goal in this, from this space, is to be experiencing fully.
Yes.
Right? As your most divine self, living the most divine life in body on this earth plane. And when you're doing that, you are in bliss.
Thank you for listening. For more information, articles, and inspiration, find us at karmasmybitch.com and at karmasmybitch.insta.
And if you liked what you heard, please subscribe and leave us a review.